You are listening to Nonsenseology.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of Nonsenseology. Before we dive into our traditional 3 topics, I'd like to share a little story about when I was in a band. I was in bands in late high school, early college, and this particular story takes place in Louisville, Kentucky. And it involves me, a homeless man, and band equipment. So we were...
Can I guess what the story is going to be about before you get started?
I'm a little worried about this.
Yeah. Is this PG or...
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely PG.
All right, go ahead.
So we were going to play a gig downtown Louisville. It was at this pizza joint called Spinelli's. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Great pizza. I believe it was like New York style pizza.
You never heard of his old band? It's a small little group called Nirvana. He was the drummer in that little tidbit of a band.
Yeah. What?
Wait, what about Nirvana?
You were the drummer, right?
I wish, but...
Oh, right, right.
Anyway, so we were... we just pulled up to the venue on the side of a street. It was actually on the side of a very busy street. And I was in charge of watching the band, basically the trailer that the band equipment was in, as all the other members were taking the equipment inside. So that way, obviously, because, you know, we don't trust Louisville because, you know, why would you? But so as I was, you know, standing guard, we should say, by the band equipment, a homeless man appears and walks up to me and asks me for some money. And if anyone knows me, which I know you two jackasses do.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I can't stray away from a conversation no matter how bad I do, even if I don't want to talk to you. So I entertain this guy, talk to him. He's kind of giving me a little spiel of how he just recently got out of jail, and he's obviously trying to get his feet back on the ground, get going again. He has a family, da-da-da-da-da. And his pitch to me was for me to give him money was he was going to buy a pizza for him and his son. That way he had something to eat later that night. And, you know, it was partially me feeling bad for him, and partially I just wanted to get him the hell out of my face. So, and I'm stuck there, right? I can't just walk away because he could possibly steal some of the band equipment. Yeah, so I'm just stuck there, and I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. So I end up giving this guy, I believe it was $5, $10, whatever. And he totally had me convinced he was going to buy a pizza. And little how I know, he was walking towards the pizza shop. I was like, okay, yep, I'm going to see him walking. Nope, he just keeps on going.
Maybe he went to Little Caesars around the corner or something.
No, I mean, we're both on the same page. We're talking about Spinelli's and how good the pizza was. And no, he hustled me, that's for sure. And basically, the whole, what I'm trying to get out of this story is that homeless people are the best hustlers.
Well, but if you only gave him $5 to $10, I mean, a pizza nowadays, it's going to cost you more than that. So he probably had to go out someone else for a couple bucks.
Well, I mean, plus he was...
You're being cheap.
He looked pretty intimidating. He looked like Post Malone, so...
You think Post Malone looks intimidating?
Okay, if you're telling me if just some random guy comes up to you and it's not Post Malone but it looks like Post Malone, you're not going to...
Do you not know him? Do you not know me?
I watched Post Malone during one of his own concerts accidentally knock a beer out of one of the fan's hands and come back in that same concert and give that fan a fresh beer.
Post Malone's a heck of a guy.
I guess you guys just really have an in-depth relationship with Post Malone. For me,
don't judge a book by
its cover. Yeah, I mean, I would not be intimidated.
Anyway, basically what I'm trying to say is that homeless people are great salesmen. He sold me on why he needed $5 to $10.
Yeah.
I'm gullible. I just wanted him to, you know, kind of go away. I can't stray away from a conversation, and he hustled me by getting $5 to $10, and who knows what he spent it on.
I have a couple guesses on what he spent it on, but, you know, to each their own. I'm not going to pass judgment like some people in this podcast.
Well, sounds like you're passing silent judgment there, Kevin.
No.
But, all right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that short story there. I'm going to...
Moral of the story is, Zach, you got to quit being so soft, bud.
And gullible,
yeah.
Well, I just like to think that there's still good people in the world, and I'm going to say I'm one of them, so...
All right. That leads into our first topic of the night. I'm gonna go first just because it kind of ties into it. My topic this week is going to be time travel. Now, there's so many aspects we could talk about with time travel, but I'm kind of curious to pick y'all's brain this week. If you could pick, and Zach, it may be that moment because you're so damn stupid right there. If you could pick one moment or one time period or year or whatever in the past to go back to, and one moment in the future, or a year in the future, whatever, to go to, what would be your spot to travel to in the past, and what would be your spot to travel to in the future, and why?
So, like, I can go to any time in the past?
Any time in the past, but only one specific, like, era or year or moment.
Oh, I definitely could think of one.
I'm going to the 1970s. Okay. I think that's for pretty obvious reasons. Everybody was pretty hippy-dippy and carefree, and there was, you know... lots of partying going on. And I think it would just be cool to, like, hang out and see what, like, the actual OG
that sounds like exactly what you do right now, except it's just not the 70s.
But I mean, I don't party like
he
that.
He wants to hang with the
chill.
Like-minded people. And
yeah, I want to see what those people
experience
are like.
The atmosphere.
Like, my grandma, my mom's mom, is super hippie. Like, she was straight up hippie. Still to this day is a hippie.
Yeah.
And
are you trying to say you're a hippie?
No, I would. I mean, I would say.
Do you want to be?
No. I mean, not. I
wearing tie-dye.
I love the hippie culture, and I love that vibe, and I love that scene and everything. But that's not something I could do all the time because I'm, you know, I just got my routine. I got my routine going on. They got their thing. It's just not something I can do all the time. But I mean, it would be cool to go back and see, like, or go to Woodstock. Going to Woodstock would be really freaking cool. I would love that.
Very nice.
Ooh, go back in time, and. Stop. Okay, yeah. Stop the Holocaust, right?
Here's my question with that. That actually, this is something I talked about with my guys at work. So given the opportunity, you know, going into something like that, it's hard because...
You don't know how it would affect
people. Yeah, you don't know what would happen today. I mean, there was a lot... I mean, it's freaking horrible, dude. And, you know, if you could stop it without it having any... adverse side effects to what to the present, then yeah, absolutely. But there was a lot of scientific discoveries made
wait. So we're just saying time travel back to the past, the current present we're living in, everything. So say you went to the 1970s, right?
Right.
So you're in the 1970s, but everything that has happened in our life is still, like, valid. That's happened too. And then, therefore, changing anything in the 1970s is going to change the whole trajectory of...
Because you can take that one of two ways. You could take it like with his point of going back to the 1970s and just kind of living in that culture and seeing it all. Or like going back to like November 1963 and stopping the JFK assassination.
Here's where I am. It's like, so like, go back to 1970s, nothing past that has... or nothing forward of that has happened yet, or go back to the 1970s, everything where we've already experienced has happened. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think time... Okay, so it depends on if you think time is linear or not. If you think time is linear, then yes, everything that we have done has happened.
All right.
You're just jumping back to us. To a,
you already jumped over my head, so...
Okay, so if time travels in a straight line, right? So say we're traveling back
horizontal.
To... 19- Sure, whatever. It doesn't matter. So we're traveling from one point, from point A to point B, whatever, just a straight line. So you're going from 1970 to 2020, 2021 now, with that line's going to continue past 2020, right? 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm getting a phone call, sorry. So you're jumping from that point, you're just jumping backwards past that
in
line.
The same
so you're
line.
Still staying on that line. That's one theory, but I think there's got to be rules to time travel, and I'll be right back with you guys.
So I'm gonna just say where I would go. So Well, and see, that was going to be my question. Is could it just be any time, or does it have to be like a time within my lifetime?
It could be any time, like, in. I mean, you could go back to the 1300s if you wanted to. There's no real, you know, there's no limit as to how far back you
can. But, so...
You could swim laps with Moses if you wanted to. Like, I mean, you can do whatever.
So say, say I go back to when they're inventing cars, and then am I allowed to be like, yo, look, I'm from... So basically, I was saying is that if I traveled back to when they had first invented cars,
sure,
am I allowed to say the knowledge I currently know in 2021, or do I have to just act dumb and be like, oh yeah, cars?
Well, I mean, again, you can take it in two different ways. You can take it in you're going back like he's doing and just kind of experiencing the culture and not really changing the whole lot, or you can go back and be the one that. Is the one that invents cars. Or you could go back into the 1400s and drop an iPhone and tell them
to have it. All right, I'm back. So, first off, I want
to... so much fun to be having.
I just want to let you guys know I'm bringing in a surprise guest for everybody.
We've got a Nonsenseology takeover.
Yep, we got a guy coming in from my working crew. We actually went to school together and all that good stuff. This is Mitch Green. But
welcome, Mitch Green, to the podcast. So, like I was saying,
We're talking about time travel right now, Mitch, and where we would go, why we would go there, and our thoughts on it. But I think I think there has to be rules to time travel. I think if you can't just take an iPhone and go back in time and say, hey, here's this invention, this is
now
mine.
Know because what to
do. If you do that, and again, thinking time is linear, that would just disrupt everything. That's going to change everything.
Yeah.
From that point onward, you're now going to have this new super advanced technology that you just dropped off into the 1970s, and that's just going to blow people's mind. They're going to think you're an alien invader, and then... it would be insane.
Or cookie over a witch's cauldron, right?
Yeah, you'd have to hurry up and try and get that invention out to, like, the masses, like, super, super fast.
Cauldron? I would like to go back...
Isn't that big cooking pot, a cauldron?
Yeah, the black, yeah.
For witches...
See, but also, like, with that, you made me forget what I was saying with the freaking... Why are you talking about cauldrons?
You said something about linear time. I don't know.
You're not even paying attention. I hate you.
Anyways, if I had the choice to go back wherever I'd want and just keep the knowledge I have now, I'd go back to about the same time period as you, but a little bit after. I'd go back to the 1980s. Like that time period, the music, the culture.
Isn't that when you were born?
Yeah, basically.
Well, you said, is it specifically because we were talking about guilty pleasures, and you said that 1980s pop, man, that's where it was.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It's like the music and the culture and everything about the 80s that, I mean, I really think I could have been born in the 80s, unlike what Austin said.
Well, Smidge, what about you, bro?
Yeah, if you could go back to any time period, any year, whatever.
So we can't change anything?
You could, but it
would have an impact.
Yeah.
So go back to the day you and Laura first kissed?
Yeah. Go into the 1960s and stop JFK from being assassinated?
See, it's a solid one. I thought about it.
What would happen?
Were you a big fan of him?
I mean, I just feel like if you stop it from happening, that it changes a lot of things.
Yeah.
It
changes everything.
So. That does change a lot. And that's what we were talking about, like, going back and stopping the Holocaust. I mean, while morally you would want to stop it, it would be a hard decision because there was so much research that was developed into, you know, so many things, so many different, I mean, medicines, properties like that were discovered throughout that, throughout the Holocaust.
I think if you change the timeline, then... a lot of bad things can happen. I think you start apocalypse or something, or
I agree.
I mean, you get a turmoil effect.
So basically, it's we're just saying to go back into a certain time period and just experience it, but don't change anything, because if you're changing it, you're almost doing just the whole society a dishonor.
I don't think you can change it, because then you start a whole new.
Was actually saying, like, what if you took, like, an iPhone 12, and went back to the 1970s and was just like, here's this invention.
Have fun with it. Or
drop an iPhone 3 and an iPhone 12, and then, you know.
Well, I feel like if you would time travel back to present day, and then something would be so off. Like, you'd be the flying cars, we'd already be here.
Yeah,
Elon Musk believes that flying cars would be impossible. Yeah,
okay. So
I don't see the that's gonna be a good topic for another episode, but I just don't see the logistics how that's gonna work out.
So does okay. So when you do travel back in time, so say, I don't know, so say you were gone from 1955 to 1960, and then you come back, right? When you come back, has any time passed since you were gone back?
I mean, if you would age, you would still age.
No, I'm talking about everyone else when you come back.
No, if has you everything come back, still, they would still be...
Yeah.
It's not that it's standing still, you just haven't got to that point in time yet.
Are we just basing this off of, like, movies and stuff, or...?
No, there's so many different theories behind this, and, I mean...
You could take it in a thousand different ways, like I was telling you earlier.
Yeah, there's so much... It's hard to talk about something this broad in 20 minutes, you know what I mean? You can't get into...
We're just barely scratching the surface.
You can't get into the physics of the
like,
stuff,
what if you change outcomes, like... What if, like you go back to where super underdogs in sports...
Yeah.
Like, when... And you bet a ton of money on them because you know they're gonna win.
Well, I mean, they did that in one of the Back to the Future movies.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah,
or make it where Andrew Garfield got a third Spider-Man movie.
He might be getting a third Spider-Man movie. They're talking about bringing him in the new one with
all three of them.
Yeah, I don't know if Tobey Maguire is signed into it yet. I think Andrew Garfield is confirmed.
They showed pictures of him going in for a costume.
It'd be interesting.
I know. Whatever entertainment companies were having that feud, and that's why the third Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man, never got made. And I was really disappointed by that.
Oh, dear Lord, we're getting off topic. Anyways, so, with that being said, if you could jump forward and go to any year in the future, what time period or what year would you like to go see?
I can only pick, like, one time period?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, narrow down.
That's a tough one because you don't want to jump so far ahead that everything's like destroyed. Well, no, you don't want to go to, I mean, like, what happens if you go 5-10,000 years in the future and then if there's been like a nuclear apocalypse or whatever, or a meteor hit the earth?
You just pop into space because there's nothing left.
Yeah,
there's
nothing there. That would be horrible. Yeah. I mean, not that that could happen in 5-10,000 years, but still, you know. I would probably say, like, go ahead, Mitch.
I'd say max 1,000, year 3,000. I would say that'd probably be the max I would go.
What are those guys called? The
Jonas Brothers.
The Jonas Brothers. Yeah. I went to the year 3,000.
Dang year. Like, would you go any farther than that?
That's probably max.
I don't know, man.
See how fast everything evolves in years.
I don't know if I'd even go that far. I'd probably go maybe like 100, 200 years.
You just time travel into the middle of iRobot War?
Oh, gosh.
Because you'd almost be afraid to go too far in it, like you said, because you could end up in a black hole or whatever the hell's going to happen. Uh-huh. Or the technology's so far advanced that your mind can't comprehend what the hell's going on.
Oh, man, what was it?
Your mind just melts as soon as you get there.
I'd like to go to, like, the year 4,000. Let's just jump it up a bit.
I'm the opposite.
I'd probably go to like...
Zach would be like, I'll go to the year 2023.
2500. Is that
2500 would probably be a strange thing.
Pretty strange, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying...
Nobody would have genitals at that point in time.
I'd go back to the times of the knights and the...
We said forward.
Forward.
We said forward.
Did you come back around the second lap or what? I mean,
oh, the rule was only forward.
You've been doing drugs, bud. What's going on?
But you pick your backward, then you go to your forward.
Furthest thing from it. Okay, forward.
Yes.
I'm gonna say. So it's 2021 now. I'm gonna say 25. Wow. No, sorry. I was going to say the number wrong. 2500. There we go.
25, like he said.
That's exactly what I said. I said I'd go to the year 2500.
Yeah. Well, and then I'd probably wake up in some lab getting that Neuralinky thing installed in my head. So.
Well, that'd be cool.
And that references back to what we just talked about in last week's podcast with the Neuralink.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
I do like to connect the dots.
Yeah, I bet you do. That's probably the only reason you said that now that I think about that. You probably thought about that for the whole time we were talking. Anyways, so, alright, just thought I'd pick your brain and see what y'all thought about a little time travel. I'm sure we'll get back into it in a later podcast. But.
Why would you want to go to the year 3000?
Like, I was just wanting my mind blown real quick.
Mitch is like, I'm trying to get
But I mean, what do you think would be there?
You just observe for 10 minutes and then leave.
Do you think we would live underwater?
No, I think if people would be living on.
Where would be your great 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 granddaughter?
Yeah, would she be doing fine?
No.
Doing fine? No.
Mars.
Well, you did go to the year 3000.
People are living on Mars, I bet. 100%.
You think?
Oh yeah, actually, yeah, that's very feasible. They're talking. I mean, that's something that's been talked about.
Elon Musk is going to put someone either on the moon or Mars.
Elon Musk is going to be cryogenically frozen. I'm not even sure if Elon Musk is probably already cryogenically
frozen.
Elon
Musk said he's an alien, so yeah. I think he's an alien.
Speaking of time travel, have you guys seen the movie Passengers? Chris Pratt and
Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, that's a good movie.
That's kind of a concept of time travel because they're in these pods for, what is it, like 90 years or something,
right.
And they wake up at this new planet.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the idea of it, yeah. I don't think that we'll ever be able to travel backwards in time. I don't think that'll ever happen.
I don't think so either.
Oh, so you only think forward.
Yeah, I think we could only potentially move forward in time. I don't think we could move backwards.
Can you explain a little bit?
Because stuff with photons and other big words that don't
that I have to get us
combobulate
stuff
properly.
Master level, people.
Yeah. That's not something that I could really go into depth about, but
gotcha.
That's for another
from
day.
The stuff that I've listened to.
I'll make sure to get another college degree before I can understand what you're saying.
You'll need a couple of them.
Yeah. A couple of them. Just yeah.
Cool. Well, Zach, what are you bringing to the table this week?
We're going to talk a little bit about conspiracy theories.
Okay, so you want to talk about specific ones?
Or? Obviously, well, I'm not going to touch on too many just because of...
I'm getting pretty in-depth with these two.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, here's some examples of conspiracy theories. You got 5G caused coronavirus.
Here we go.
Okay, that doesn't even make sense because it just doesn't make sense. The 5G way, like people are acting like, oh, we're getting exposed, we're getting blasted with these 5G gamma rays.
I mean, it could potentially be causing, a rise in headaches, but, other than that.
5G is, the towers are, they're up, they're high in the air. The 5G signals, those frequencies are way up above you. They're not like passing through.
But then how does the frequency reach your phone?
Satellite.
The phone is the same sea level as me.
Satellite. I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't think that you're sitting there getting exposed to these just massive amounts of 5G that are...
yeah,
it's silly.
More examples of conspiracies is... I don't know if you guys have heard this, but...
No, Zach, tell us more.
But there's several conspiracies surrounding the Denver airport. And
oh,
how,
God. How and what it's built on. The Indians that built it or something.
Well, supposedly, it's said to be the headquarters of the Illuminati.
Oh, my God.
Why is that? Can you give me more information about that? Because I've never heard that.
Why Denver airport?
Yeah, what's going on at Denver?
Those paintings and stuff inside
the
Denver
when
airport.
When I went to...
Oh, God, he's a world traveler, this one.
When I went to Colorado, specifically Denver... And we went to the Denver airport. They were just talking about how so many conspiracy theories surrounded the airport. And I guess the whole Illuminati thing is because there's like underground tunnels under the airport. And
that's terrorist attacks. Every airport has that.
Well, they say that's where the Illuminati meets.
Oh.
Oh, my.
The White House has it underneath tunnels.
Well,
too.
Duh.
There was there's tunnels underneath my old high school. They meet there too.
This one can get very controversial. Which, by the way, we're not going to dive into these specifically. We're going to there's a couple. I'm just giving examples, but how Big Pharma is withholding the cure to cancer.
Duh.
Well, that makes sense. I mean,
that's common.
That
knowledge.
Makes a lot of sense. I don't know why they would do that because it messed up, but it makes sense.
Well, the little I read about it is because obviously it would just tank. Doctors' jobs. It would reduce so much revenue from hospitals and
it's messed up.
But it and
mostly for this, so they don't, people would stop buying.
But what I do question is how much money do we have to put into research for cancer until it's?
Well, what do you think that money's actually going toward?
I really don't know.
Cloning goats.
Probably.
That's what it is.
Here's some more examples: Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster. And then, obviously, a big one is presidential assassinations. But so, what you ask makes up a conspiracy theorist. Here's some characteristics. I'm going to spit at you. They tend to have less of an education. More often live in societies that have successful democracies, which influences trust in others and in the authorities, belongs to groups that feel they should have more power and influence, belong to special political organizations or religious groups a little more often use intuition or their quote-unquote gut feeling when making decisions, and they are more narcissistic and paranoid than others. Oh, lastly, obtain their information from social media, and that's it. So, I mean, I feel like that's pretty spot on, I would say, right?
How many people are you trying to offend each week in a podcast? Because I feel like every week now you're like putting a hit marker out on your
head.
That's
true. Yeah, you do talk crap about somebody every week.
I don't know who I just talk crap about.
Conspiracy theorists.
They'll come
for you too, so I'd be careful.
I would.
Wu-Tang Clan and all that.
There's some conspiracies I entertain, but I'm not like, I don't believe in just dozens, but.
What's a conspiracy theory that you actually believe?
Well, okay, that's what I'm getting ready to get into. And it makes a lot of sense if you've seen these shows, which, I mean, they're very popular shows. So, I mean, if you haven't seen them, I'm sure you...
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, that...
I'm sure you...
That
you,
was made by people.
You're going to talk about The Simpsons, aren't you?
No.
Johnny Bravo.
No. I was just going to say, I'm sure if you haven't seen these shows, you know the general idea of the show. So...
Eddie...
Breaking Bad is a prequel to The Walking Dead. So, and this makes a lot of sense to me from what I researched and what I found. So, I just want to point out that this is not an original conspiracy theory thought of by me. It's
Zachary J. Young.
Built upon fans that watch these shows. So, the first one is Walter White, or Heisenberg, blue meth is responsible for The Walking Dead's zombie apocalypse. In The Walking Dead, they never explain how or why the zombie apocalypse occurred, which causes much speculation. And how it could be tied together is because both these shows came from the network AMC. There are a few reasons within The Walking Dead that point the reason behind this conspiracy. In the first season, the character Glenn drives a red Dodge Challenger, which looks very close to the Challenger Walter bought for his son on the fifth season of the show, that Walter then returns later to the dealership to the general manager, and his name is Glenn. And then lastly, on The Walking Dead season 2, Daryl, he is attempting to help out the character named T-Dog with a fever caused by a zombie bite. Daryl then whips out his brother Merle's bag of drugs to see if anything could help. At the bottom of this bag, you can clearly see blue meth. What's even more of a hook, line, and sinker
is that at the bottom of your gym bag, you can clearly see blue meth.
That also makes sense. That's why he's so little.
It was like a Ziploc bag that you could see it.
Same with
but, what's even more of a hook, line, and sinker is that Merle used to be a drug dealer before the apocalypse. His supplier fit the exact description of Jesse Pinkman, a janky little white guy who threatened Merle with a gun and said, "I'm gonna kill you, bitch." So, and that sounds pretty much like...
Yeah, that's Jesse Pinkman's line.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have watched these shows in depth.
I've already watched Breaking Bad. I finished the whole series, but I actually just restarted it. I'm on episode 5, season 1.
Okay, but just based off of what you've seen the show, what you've heard about the show, I mean, I feel like that theory really kind of holds up to...
Actually, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I really like it. It's pretty interesting.
I feel like it's a cool theory, but I feel like since they're made by the same company, that they just make references to Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, both these shows really do, I don't know if on purpose or what, but they really do give a lot of creativity for the fans to really kind of come up with Easter egg type things. Yeah.
I feel like that's just what a lot of video games do. Like, if you play a Rockstar game, they're going to make references to every Rockstar game that they ever had.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess just to really hold the fans' attention and really make sure the hype stays there, I guess, so to speak. But
it'd be cool if it is a prequel.
Yeah, I mean, We can run with that. We can just keep saying that. But second conspiracy theory, which I feel like we have a lot to say about this, is that Area 51 has actual aliens and the government is hiding it from us.
Oh, 100%.
So, I could believe that.
I don't know if it's Area 51 specifically, but in some location there's aliens.
Yeah, and so Area 51 is the most secretive base, military base in the world. It does not exist on any map or government website. Some people think the moon landing was staged at Area 51. And then obviously we had that whole big social media trend of storm Area 51. And
that was wild.
That was crazy.
The government claims that it only tests experimental aircraft for the military. But
I mean, of course, that's all they claim. They're not... The government... I feel like any government knows way more than what...
Yeah, of course.
They're not going to tell you everything.
So, you think that just... You think the active military people there just... You know, they have taco night with aliens and hide them from the public.
I feel like they have the Klingons. I feel like they have them in tubes or cages or...
Yeah.
They don't have them. They're not...
They're not roaming.
They're not... Like, they're in, like, these special containers because you don't know, like, how powerful they are.
So you do believe that...
Yeah.
It's 100%. A huge possibility Area 51 has...
A living alien? Yeah. At least one.
I think that Area 51 may be a cover-up for something that's greater that we have no
idea. Oh, it's so to distract us.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's just say they want us to think they have aliens at Area 51, but they actually have aliens at the White House.
No, they actually have aliens or whatever, like, somewhere else. Like, somewhere we're not even thinking of.
So, I'm saying, I don't know if it's necessarily Area 51, but there was aliens somewhere. Around.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But would it be Area 51? I don't know.
Okay, what about do you think that the moon landing was staged at Area 51, or do you think that actually happened?
I don't know. I could go both ways on that.
I feel like I believe the moon acted.
And correct me if I'm wrong, or if you guys even know if I'm wrong, but I feel like when we first, quote-unquote, landed on the moon, this was when televisions were kind of just coming out, and people could easily be persuaded that that actually happened, right?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, that I agree with that, but I feel like countries were actually legitimately trying to go to the moon.
And weren't we supposedly the first to land on the moon?
Yeah, supposedly be Russia.
Yeah. And the Russian.
See, I feel like we just say that just to have, you know, American pride. That
I mean, I feel like everybody's at the moon. I feel like you have. I feel like it's
just
not that
just each country you go to. I've been on the moon first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. Now, I do have an original conspiracy that surround aliens. So hear me out. Hear me out. What if we are the aliens?
There's a chance.
Why are we the only species that have the capability to have such an intellectual capacity and all the other animals on Earth are pretty dumb? What if in the beginning we were just dropped on Earth by the mothership and they were like, figure it out. We'll be back in 5,000 years to check on your progress.
That's not original.
Well,
yeah, that's a current. I mean, that it's hard to come up with an idea that's original, but yeah, that is a conspiracy theory.
Well, it's original to me because I've never heard of it.
Good, yeah. No, that is a conspiracy theory, but how crazy would it be? I mean, like the pyramids, Stonehenge, all these other, huge structures. How did they get there? You know, there's a lot of ideas about...
The pyramids are weird.
Yeah, exactly. There's weird. It's like, strange, man.
How
so
is
what
it
if,
that big?
Yeah.
What if, like, what?
What if there were aliens, and what if they dropped people off after building that crap?
Yeah. You're talking about perfect angles, like, for... Hundreds of millions, thousands of years.
We time traveled mammoths to help us build the pyramids.
That would be insane. Yeah, I mean, that would be nuts.
But you still have to, like, those rocks are, like, perfect. Like, some of those rocks are, like, you're like, what? How do you cut that in that old time?
And what tools do you use to get that high?
You would have to use a laser just to.
Protractor disc.
Okay, I got a little bit left of it. And, you know, Austin, if it's not original, just, I guess, say it. Why not?
Go ahead and tear it down again.
Yeah.
I will, no problem.
But why is every other animal on this planet kind of fit to the circle of life, but yet we are considered parasites. You know what I mean? Because because all of the other animals, I mean, they're not essentially causing direct harm to the earth, but yet ever since we've been here, we've progressively started to damage the earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So maybe we weren't originally put here, and we, and then you know what I mean? I mean,
there is also like 7 billion people. Like, there's a lot of people,
and they think that there's been like 106 billion people over the course of forever.
Like, what if it's just overpopulation? Like, what if
yeah,
it's
I think
just...
it's just the massive amount of people.
Well, like, if you gave wolves, if you put 7 billion wolves on, what would happen?
Actually, like, yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, what if you just overpopulated the Earth with any kind of species of animal? What, don't you think that would cause issues?
No.
Like, that's a really 7 good
billion
point.
I was just really...
You get killed.
7 billion, yeah, dude.
I was really proud of myself for that I came up with.
Because
that,
you have to think, too, like...
I don't know. I still think it's a good point, too. I thought about what if we were...
I can say also, I've never heard that before.
Well, we were also aliens, like, criminals, or we didn't cut it to make it... In
we got exiled.
And they're like, yeah, let's take all these people, instead of killing them, let's put them on this world.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. What if there's a huge mothership out there flying around full of just, you know, plenty of Austins, plenty of Kevins, plenty of Zachs,
no,
Mitches?
No,
there's only one me, bro.
Yeah.
Only one me.
You don't know that?
And the world can only take one of you.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. You know how they say everybody has a doppelganger?
Zach doesn't.
I would love to meet mine. That'd be so funny.
My doppelganger? Matt Damon.
Leave.
Matt Damon.
But you look like Ryan Reynolds after he became Deadpool.
Hey, I haven't had acid.
Yeah, at least you're going to be Deadpool. That's
I haven't had even acid had splash in my face, so.
Yep.
Anyway, that was kind of all I wanted to touch on, the conspiracy theories. Obviously, we can have part twos on all these because you can dive so deep into them. But we've got Austin. He's the last one to share. So
his little bit of nonsense with us.
What were you bringing to the table for us tonight?
I mean, I guess it kind of goes along with conspiracy theories, but something that I think is really interesting is the simulation theory. You guys know what the simulation theory is?
Yep.
Do you know what it is, Mitch?
I don't think so.
So the simulation theory is basically...
Nope, I need another USI degree to know what that is.
Oh my gosh, but I can't help that you're dumb. No, I mean, this is just something that...
makes life
that,
simple.
Whatever, Zach.
Well, at least you graduated college in 4 years with a bachelor's degree, unlike some people that we know.
The simulation theory is the idea that we're basically in a simulation, that all of this is just computer-generated and... none of us are real. All this is just pre-programmed, and we're just in somebody's computer. That's the simulation
theory. Almost. I mean, it's close to...
that'd be so
good. Have you ever... I mean, it's not technically a simulation, but they make it as a real-life simulation, the Maze Runner. Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
I have not. I've heard... I probably should, but
yeah,
I haven't seen that.
They kind of do something... I mean, it's not like a video game, kind of like how you said, but they... they basically run, like, human simulations to create a better world, I guess. So.
And that could be it. I mean, what if we are that simulation and we are trying to become...
and the mothership is watching.
And we're slowly becoming more and more self-aware, and that maybe that's why humans are on this earth. Maybe we're not aliens. Maybe we're just a computer. And maybe that's why we can only see so far into the universe. And maybe that's why we can't travel faster than the speed of light.
Because there's like, just like in a Call of Duty map, there's like just boundaries. You
can't
go further than that boundary.
What if there's boundaries set in these computers that we just can't get past? Like, why can we only see a certain distance into the universe, you know? Why can't we just send something just floating out into space for forever and just let it keep floating out there? Why can't we do stuff like
that? Because who's the balls to do that?
Yeah, I mean...
No, US of A, baby!
Yeah.
Who's going to go out there and just spend like 40 years and... space.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
But
you know,
supposedly you age very slow.
I mean, think about how tiny Earth is. I mean,
it's a
itty
molecule.
Itty.
Oh, if we're getting down to that, yeah, you're
talking... I mean, you're talking the known, like, the seeable universe is like 35 billion times bigger than Earth. Like, that's... it's not even feasible. You can't even...
Okay. How do we think the origin of the universe started?
That takes away from the simulation theory. I mean, like...
Well, I mean, that kind of ties into all of that, too. I mean, you can talk the Big Bang, you know. Mm-hmm. What was there before the Big Bang?
Oh, do we think... So the Big Bang... Well, I guess that... Okay. Not the Big Bang, but the meteor that took out the dinosaurs. Now, do we think that could happen to us?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A mass extinction is totally...
But what I remember from it is, like, it was just like, wow, these dinosaurs are wusses, because it was just a big meteor that crashed down and just caused the dust to come up in the air, and there was no sun for I don't know however long.
That would kill millions, billions of people too. Billions.
No, easily. We would just turn into the TV show Snowpiercer.
I hate you so much.
Oh my god.
Jeez Louise.
You guys, are you familiar with that show?
No, and I don't want to be.
It's a frozen wasteland, and they're just riding on a train.
I wish you would live in a frozen wasteland. My God.
I was reading into, like, there's this page, and it says, but what if any of astronomers' basic assumptions are wrong, the Big Bang Theory would not explain the properties of this universe. Is it possible that the Big Bang never happened? And then it gives, like, three different types of, you know, the creation of the universe. It gives three different theories behind that, and then kind of like a brief summary of some other ones. But I'm going to go ahead and go over those, because I thought this was really interesting, and I want to hear what you guys have to think about these. So the first one is the steady state universe. An early rival to the Big Bang theory, steady state posits continuous creation of matter throughout the universe to explain its apparent expansion. This type of universe would be infinite with no beginning or end. However, a mountain of evidence found since the mid-1960s indicates that this theory is not correct. Then there's the eternal inflation. After the Big Bang, the universe expanded rapidly during a brief period called inflation. The eternal inflation theory posits that inflation never stopped and has been going on for an infinite length of time. Somewhere even now, new universes are coming into existence in a vast complex called the multiverse. Those many universes could have different physical properties. So that's saying that...
Ooh, I like that last one. So it sounds like it's like a DLC pack in a video game.
Kind of, yeah. There's like different branches of that, of it's these just, different types of universes.
So we got the Milky Way galaxy, and over here we may have the Butterfinger galaxy. And
yeah, and exactly.
Then, and then in the new DLC we'll have the Kit Kat galaxy.
Yep. And then there's also the oscillating universe. Originally, the cyclic model?
Big words. Send it out.
Yeah, okay, whatever. We'll just go with that. Of the universe involved an endless series of Big Bangs followed by Big Crunches that restarted the cycle endlessly. The modern cyclic model involves colliding brains.
Come on, a membrane. Brains?
It's spelled differently. A membrane within a higher dimensional volume called the bulk. That one's a bit confusing, but I don't really understand that one at all.
But no, I really let's run with that the last one you said a little bit. So who's creating these DLC galaxies? You know what I mean?
In the DLC.
But that's the best way to kind of like put it in perspective for people, you know? Because,
well, it's either Activision or Rockstar is usually creating these EA Sports.
Could you imagine if that was like on the surface layer, they want you to think they're making video games, but like deep down, they're really creating our world. You know what I mean?
Well, what if that's part of the simulation? What if that's why there are different branches of the universe? What if that's why there are different realities? Is because there's just different pages on a website.
And we think this whole, we're distracted this whole time. We think Amazon, Google, Apple are going to run the world, but it's really Activision, Rockstar.
That would be crazy.
EA Sports, you're the game.
Oh man, that would be wild. Yeah,
we're just expanding our minds here.
I mean, it's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
The limits are endless.
You like it? He's like, oh, that's how what we're doing. That sucks.
Yeah, like that's how pointless everything is. Is we're just programmed. We're in a computer.
Awesome.
I mean, there would be no way of knowing it, you know.
Yeah.
And what if one day somebody does prove that we're in a computer? If we were
programmed, why does everything hurt so much?
They let it happen. That's part of the game.
That's just part of it. Yeah.
Why, when you play The Sims, do you let the house catch on fire? Do you let them piss themselves? Let them lose their jobs? It's just part of it.
All right. I'm a simulation within a simulation. We're a simulation playing a simulation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just never ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Never ends.
And then there's actually like, man, what was it? There's a couple of different video games where you can play like arcade games inside of the video games. And you can be like your character playing the machine, right? So what if you're in a simulation playing a simulation that's playing a simulation? Right. Now that's some Matrix shit right there.
Yeah. Well, like when you used to play poker on Red Dead.
Oh yeah, dude. That's how I learned how to play poker was Red Dead Redemption 2. One of the achievements was to win some poker hands.
Playing his character, playing poker.
Red Dead Redemption, he was like,
yeah, you played poker then.
Well, that's what it was like, all right, this is going to inspire me to do this stuff all the time.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Is I played it, and I was like, dude, I love this. This is a lot of fun. So then I sent out a big text to everybody. I was like, hey,
let's do this for real life.
Let's get together and play some poker. And you guys were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'll teach everybody. We'll all get together. We'll play. We'll just get better at it.
God,
and
when we first like started 5 playing, hours.
Yeah.
There's when no getting first better at it. It's just luck.
No, God, that's not true. That's why you never win.
It's just luck.
Yeah. This guy.
Yeah, keep going with that thing.
Okay. Is it?
But are you coming? You should let me know, bud.
I'll let you know when I let you know.
I feel like it's the same amount of luck.
I mean, you don't win sometimes unless you're lucky.
Yeah, luck plays a part of it. It's a part of it.
Okay,
yeah,
he's saying. It's
are you not? Are you not? The same amount of luck partakes in as if you're playing roulette as it does you're playing blackjack or.
But you have
Texas
more control.
Hold'em.
No, you have more control.
Yeah, you have a lot more control over it. Way more control. But if I go and I sit down at a table with poker professionals, dude, I'm going to get picked apart. They're going to be able to read my hands.
I think you did, right?
I have gone to Vegas and sat down at a table and within like two hands lost $100.
Yeah.
I went to St. Louis and did the same thing. But I've also sat down and I've won a couple $100 playing before too, and it's a great feeling.
You know what's even better feeling?
What?
Robin Zach.
Yeah, taking your money is the best feeling, but Zach doesn't like to play poker.
That's true, because he's always the first one out. No, I don't know why I play this damn game.
Because it's all luck.
Yeah. I'm just unlucky, please.
You want to know who I would love to play poker with, though? I mean, we're getting way off topic, but whatever.
It's okay.
Phil Hellmuth, the poker brat.
All right, guys, get your Google search out.
Yeah,
of course you don't know who that is, Zach.
I'm telling them because they probably don't know who the heck that was. So
I bet you. I mean, I honestly, if anybody here plays poker, if they know anything about poker, they know who Phil Hellmuth is.
Poker may be a good topic one time. We could run the gamut on some poker.
We could definitely talk about. I mean, we could talk a little bit about poker, but we're both pretty inexperienced, even so.
And this one over here, child's play.
Yeah, there. I mean, yeah, poker's awesome. Poker's a lot of fun.
Yeah, my poker skills are equivalent to a toddler learning how to walk. So
no, they're worse.
At least
than
a
that.
Toddler will get
better. Toddler will get better.
There's like different things you can do in so many spots. That,
yes.
Yeah, there's like, all kinds of.
If you have a bad
different...
hand and you just raise super heavy on someone that has like, if you have a bad hand and you raise super heavy, it makes you look super strong, and half the time people will fold out on you.
Which is what Mitch does 95% of his hands.
But when you have,
and then you get called. Yeah.
And then you wreck people. It's like,
that's the other 5% of Mitch's hand. Interesting.
That's why when Mitch wins, he wins like pretty fast and pretty big.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Isn't a big part of it too the whole Lady Gaga song, Poker Face?
Oh, yeah. You gotta have a poker face.
Yeah. So I feel like if you don't have a poker face, that's half the battle right there, right? I mean, because if you can't conceal your face, then how are you going to conceal your hand?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's in poker, there's a lot of... Because, like, you don't need to go in with any type of emotional, like... Your emotions aren't going to play into it as much if you're playing, like, roulette or blackjack or any other table game, so to speak. But poker, there's so much, and any there's so many variations of poker, but there's also so many ways that you can go about how to win in poker too. Your strategy, your mindset, your poker face, how you're tossing that
you're
chip.
You're definitely the tortoise, and I think that guy right there. He's the hare.
I'm the slow and steady.
Who are me?
Yeah, you're the hare.
I mean, I play
AKA the bunny.
I do he's really well. I play well in poker. I've won the last few games. Oh, here he goes again.
We need to keep up. We honestly, what we need to do is get like a dry erase board or something. You know how you write people in gyms write down like biggest, and we need to write down how many.
Zach would have zero forever.
Yeah. Bottom rung over there.
You know what? And I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. So who knows? Maybe I'm pulling the whole episode from Fresh Prince, where
you are not Uncle Phil and you're not hustling us by no means.
You're not.
Well, you just, I mean, that was a good episode. So Uncle Phil hustles these
for
people.
The pool?
Yeah.
If that's the case, we'll do $50 buy-ins. But, you can take all our money.
But well, I was thinking,
but I've had a slow, strategic buildup of
there only might be
years.
Four or five of us.
And then I'm just like, you know what, guys, $100? You're like, Zach, you
100%. If he walked in and said $100 buy-in, I'm going to the ATM.
Yeah, I would do it. I'd play $100 with you.
Every bit.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Head-to-head, though, is way different. That is some
yeah,
luck.
Head-to-head's
luck.
There's still just a lot of skill that goes behind it.
Man. I think head-to-head is hard.
If I were playing
head-to-head, it's so different.
If I was playing head-to-head with Zach, I would raise a lot. All the time. All the time.
Because that could get 3-8, 2-7.
The thing with head-to-head, you can lose all your chips, though, in one game because you, like...
It's a lot of luck, too.
Because if you get, like, a pocket pair, and someone gets, like, a...
What's the biggest pot you've ever won? Do you play poker outside of Austin?
I haven't played at a casino, now.
I've played at a casino, and I've won... I mean, the biggest pot I've ever won was probably like $200, right around $200.
Mm-hmm. Well, my cousin Damien's won more money.
Okay,
than you
listen,
won
Damien is it?
Yeah, okay. I've won over $400 on penny slots
before too.
The thing is,
I've seen Damien do
it at the boat here in Evansville. Not that that's here anymore, but
you can make some money on the slots.
Yeah, he got. I mean, that's just lucky.
If you've
but
got patience, and
while we were at a Caesar's Palace in Vegas for Zach's bachelor party,
fantastic.
I was sitting down at a table, and I had a king and an eight of diamonds.
Oh, you were in the room, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the poker room, and I had a king and eight of diamonds, so, you know, I was playing steady. On the flop, I hit two more diamonds, feeling pretty good. On the river, or on the turn, comes out the ace of diamonds. So now I have... I've got the flush, I've got the nut flush, so I'm feeling good. I keep raising. These two guys that are sitting next to me, we're just kind of, you know, talking back and forth, kind of talking shit, just, you know, bulling around.
You can't cuss at the table, though, can you?
You can't cuss heavily, but, I mean, you know, if you say
if it
shit
out,
or, something,
they
it's not a big deal. Brandon actually got told to settle down on his cussing while we were in Vegas. That was pretty funny.
Because he kept going in there, like, just... cussing up a storm and just acting like
dropping
F-bombs. Whoa, you're playing with like $500, not $5,000.
If you're also
like,
playing like in that kind of stuff, you can't like you're not supposed to talk during other people's hands.
Yeah,
either.
Right.
So
well,
if you're over making noise and shit during other people's hands. Then
so it's equivalent to golf,
right? Yes and no.
Well, it's just because they don't want you to influence them.
Yeah. Right.
They don't want
you
to see. They don't want you like if you're talking.
They don't want you signaling or anything like that either.
Like
so.
Even if like Brandon said, the hand sucked that or what? If he said I had an eight or something, then you're not supposed to say something.
Right.
No, because at that point, if Brandon reveals what he has in any type of way, it could severely influence the rest of the table. But just like process of elimination. I mean, a lot of those people, especially down in Vegas, they play with such intellect into the game that they're in their head already know like what's going in, what's going out, and use that to make their own decisions on their hand. Whereas us, we do not do that.
I try to be conscious of my hands.
And never works out.
Whatever. I've won most of the games we've played.
Here we go.
That's just the fact.
We're starting.
You
want to
play right now? Let's do it.
Come on.
Where's the cards? Zach's here. He's playing. Yeah. Let's do this.
He's here. $100 buy. Let's go. It.
Come on.
What?
You ready?
I got one smoothie I put in there.
All right, let's do it. You ready? $10,000 buy-in. That's something that blows. That's something I love about poker, but it blows my mind. Like high stakes poker games, there's $100,000 buy-ins, and they're playing for pots that are can get up to $3-4 million, yeah. And that's real money. And it's like
the World Series,
sportsbook.
Not even the World Series. It's just high stake poker games. The World Series buy-ins are $10,000.
Like there's like some in like Monte Carlo and like Barcelona stuff.
Because those people are Cuban.
Like people from like all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world.
Like they'll, okay. It'd be like the Bahamas and it's $100,000 buy-in. And you just go to Bahamas, just pay $100,000. You play poker for however long you last and there's maybe like 45 to 50 people. And people can rebuy in.
And they do too.
And they do. And it gets up to like the winner of that wins like 1.5.
The island.
Like 1.4
pretty much.
The island you're playing on. I miss the days. We had a good thing going for a while when we ran two poker tables.
That's because we had a bunch of people, but now people drop out because people are lame.
Two poker tables, yeah, that was wild.
That was, I mean, we'd have 10
anyway, what
people
I feel like would be legit. So we've been to Vegas, right? I mean, that's pretty much crème.
You should love poker.
Vegas, Atlantic City. But what the authenticity to go to Indian reservation casino, right? I feel like that's really where it's at.
I've been to one in California.
Well, I mean, tell us about it. Was it?
I mean, it's your regular run-of-the-mill casino. I mean, other than the.
It sounds like you're being racist again.
I mean, you can tell it's Indian
a fact.
Influence, but I mean, it's still a casino. They still have to abide by regulations.
Sorry, Native American. Is that better? A Native American.
He's
casino.
Offended two people in this podcast.
I'm sorry, bud.
Well. I don't mean to offend anybody. I try to be harmless.
Interesting, because every week
you are the most harmless person I know. You're a nice fella.
Yeah, you're considering you call me one ply toilet paper.
No. You are not one ply toilet paper. You are wet one ply toilet paper. Don't forget
that. A damn fly couldn't even wipe its own ass.
Yes, I'm a gimp wolf who wipes his butt with one ply wet toilet paper.
No, you are one ply wet one ply toilet paper, Zach.
I was just combining the two, so why not?
Oh man, I'm so sorry. I can't help it.
Well, I hope you guys gave a laugh, lost a brain cell. One
enjoyed
of the two.
Our special guest, Mr. Mitch Green.
Yeah,
today.
Mitch,
we'll
thanks for stopping
Mitch.
By, bud.
So, well. Catch us again next week. Maybe they'll make fun of me less, but probably
not.
Yeah,
that's not
going
to happen.
Anyway.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Nonsenseology. Check out our Facebook page, Nonsenseology.
We're
now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
do it now.
If you don't mind, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and don't be afraid to leave a comment. So.
And if it's anything less than a 5-star, just
Zach will through. Send you a picture of himself if you do.
Well, no, now we're just shoving everyone away.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Catch you later. How about that?